L
O
R
E
N.
All right.
Here we go. Yeah. So here we go. It's the Man to Man Boys. We got Lauren Gray on today, singer, songwriter, social media star, episode 2, season 4. We're still out here in Los Angeles. Again, don't be that guy who just watches the videos and doesn't subscribe. Make sure to like, share this with all your friends. We're a small podcast. We're trying to get up there a little bit. Appreciate the love, and I don't know, dude. Let's get into the pod. UFC superstar Jorge Game Brett Masvidal, dude. What's going on, baby?
What's up, everybody?
Everybody, welcome into Man's Man Podcast.
Today we're switching things up and talking man to woman. Please welcome on the show, singer, songwriter, social media star, Lauren Gray. We know you like the DJ.
I am okay.
$1.99 for a banana bag, bro.
I felt like I ran a marathon with no training.
Yeah.
Is that your first one? Have you ever been to like...
No, first one. And it was cool. It was really cool because we were in the tent and they made things really easy for us, but I was still...
Yeah.
It's standing for like 6 hours.
Well, we were on a flight from Nashville. Also, she was in Nashville. I'm sure you knew there was like a tsunami back when she was performing that weekend and it came out at like midnight.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I think she got fined a pretty hefty amount for just staying out there to like 2 a.m. or something. Yeah. And then our flight from Nashville to Los Angeles, it was at 5:20? And there was a ton of people, a ton of families and children on that plane. I'm like, are they going to the Taylor Swift concert? What's going on?
Most definitely.
Cool. Let's get into it. Cool. All right. Here we go. Deep breath. Here we go. I do that every time. All righty. Welcome back to the Man to Man Podcast. Today we're switching things up and talking man to woman.
Please welcome
on the show, singer, songwriter, social media star, Lauren Gray.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let's go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Let's go. I know. Come on. What's been going on? All right. So you've been very busy lately. Obviously, congratulations on the album and the remix single that just came out. But I think our game plan for you is just to time line it up and just who is Lauren Gray? Where did it start? So we might ask you kind of the broader questions to start out. But when did social media kind of start for Lauren Gray? How did you get into that process?
Yeah, so it all happened by accident. I started posting, as most, you know, tween kids do.
Yeah.
And I had social media for my friends at school.
Mm-hmm.
But I never looked at it as a career. It was like collage pictures of me and my friends.
Yeah.
Then I started making videos on Musical.ly, and I was using it kind of as like a... Do you remember Dub Smash?
Is that like a MySpace for us?
No. Oh my gosh, it was kind of like... It was in between... Vine and Musical.ly.
Okay, because we were on Vine, right? We were making videos
on
Vine,
dude. Smash. It was, I would say it was like the first audio lip sync type app.
Okay.
But it wasn't really a platform in and of itself.
Gotcha.
So I found Musical.ly and I liked making the lip sync videos.
Yeah.
I would post them on my Instagram. And I didn't realize I was uploading them to the Musical.ly platform.
Gotcha.
So what happened was I was saving the videos to my camera roll. And they were uploading simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
And getting featured, which is now the For You page.
Gotcha.
And they were all going viral on the platform, and I didn't know until I had like 30,000 followers. And then I caught on.
Okay.
So it kind of happened by accident, and then I really loved it.
So it was just linked accounts right there, kind of like what Instagram is when you post right there. It's linked to Facebook.
Yeah, so like I was just – what has happened? Yes. Pool parties. Yeah, why aren't we there?
I know. We're going to go after. We're going to go right after that.
What's going
on? Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I was doing it on accident.
Got you.
Now, is that like you and all your friends are kind of doing this? Or are you kind of the one out of the group that's doing this?
So I feel like at the beginning, no one really knew it was a platform. It was, I would say like a month period of no one knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then everyone started catching on. And there were people at my school that had hundreds of thousands of followers, but I started posting because this is cool. I didn't have any friends, so it was cool to get.
So you saw people that were already doing it with a big following.
Yeah, at my school.
Okay.
And then everyone. Like,
what school? How did you grow up? Public school, private
school?
Okay.
Yeah, I went to
Pennsylvania girl.
Middle school.
Gotcha.
I never went to high school, but.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I did. I graduated, but not public school.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
So then when did you like, I guess you transitioned to LA kind of early. When was that for you? When did you come over here and move?
I moved here when I was 15 with my mom, and okay. then she stayed out here with me until I was about to turn 18. She moved back with my
gotcha.
Dad. So my dad stayed at home.
Okay.
Without
you're like, yeah,
any
we'll see
us.
You, Dad. We'll be right back, dude.
Yeah, he was a lonely bachelor for a couple of years.
And then what was the reasoning maybe a little bit behind you moving out here? Mm-hmm. Was there a story behind why you chose to come to LA?
There was just more opportunity. I was already coming out here so often for different events. I came out here for the Kids' Choice Awards. I was always coming out here, and I had, at that point, all of my friends were out here too because I didn't have any friends in school. I wasn't in school. So it just made more sense for me to be around my peers.
Gotcha.
And more work opportunities.
Gotcha.
And then I signed my record deal when I was 16. So that yeah. required, you know.
So gaining all these followers, I guess, are you like competing with your other friends back in school, like middle school, and then, or was there like competition?
No,
was there beef going
on,
or what?
They all deactivated their accounts so they could make fun of me.
What?
Yeah. So okay. there was like a week long period where I wanted to quit everything because mm-hmm. I became the laughing stock of the school. People were showing up to my cheerleading games and making fun of me, and
it was jealous. Right?
Yeah. It, you know, in retrospect, but at the time, it felt like my world was collapsing.
Yeah.
And I stayed up all night crying. Everyone was tweeting about me, and you can't put Musical.ly on a resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hold up now.
Look at me now.
But there was a week where things just got really bad, and I ended up leaving school.
Yeah.
And my mom was very supportive.
Yeah.
She knew I loved doing what I was doing, and I was good at it, and my parents just kind of facilitated my interest.
So that was an app, though, where you could – because we've heard Josh Richards and kind of Bryce Hall talk about how they can start to make money on that app. Was that kind of what you were figuring out? On Musical.ly, I think, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of – so monetization opportunities on social media are always evolving. Obviously, it was different back then than it is now.
Sure.
So, I mean, you could live stream and make money. You still can, but
gotcha.
YouNow was more the platform for that.
Okay.
And then you could get brand deals and partners.
Yeah.
And my first one was for Android.
Let's go.
I got paid like $200.
Let's
and
go.
I was 13, and that $200 changed my
bring
life.
In the cash. Bring in the cash.
It changed my life. I was like, oh, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I made it.
Did you go on any, before we get into like, I guess you going into TikTok, because TikTok is what Musical.ly was.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Did you go on any social media tours like we heard about all the other social media influencers? Okay. Gotcha.
I went on two. The first one was kind of the first time that I experimented with music.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13 on my first tour, and it was interesting because it was sort of like a talent show. So kids would come because they wanted the meet and greet, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really care what you did on stage.
Gotcha.
But I took it as an opportunity to see what I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm just going to sing one song.
Yeah,
I sang
yeah.
Riptide by Vance Joy for
oh,
30
great song.
Shows. Yeah.
Great choice.
I was a terrible singer. I was not good. But I loved it. And I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to sing. She's
gotcha.
Like, and my parents had never heard me sing, really. So
okay.
I went out, I did it, and I loved it. And then after that, I started writing music. But
gotcha.
I also went on another one where I hosted it.
So, okay.
Because at that point, after the first tour, I decided I wanted to actually make music.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, instead of just covering songs, I wanted to make original music and go on my own, do my own shows. So,
gotcha.
I just decided to host that one.
Gotcha.
So when you're growing up, did you want to be like this big, you know, now, did you ever see yourself doing this, or did you
no.
have something else you wanted to do?
She's like, no, dude, it just started.
But how did that?
Like, I feel like my mom kind of manifested this for me. I have a really vivid memory of her and I being in the car. We were at the bottom of the hill leaving my house, and she looked at me in the car. I was 12. It was right before all the Musical.ly stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, you're going to be famous.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, God, I hope not. Like, I would hate that. I would hate people in my business. And I wanted to be a scientist. I wanted to be a forensic anthropologist. That was my dream. And she's like, no, it's going to happen. I just know it.
Yeah.
And then in the next couple of months, it did. And then I loved it.
Yeah.
But I was so against it before I even knew what it was like.
Right. Right, exactly. So your mom was managing you then, and then you go.
Kind of.
Okay, gotcha.
She wasn't necessarily managing me. She was never a stage mom.
Uh-huh.
She just kind of saw how much I love performing. And I was always, I've always had a lot of, not insecurities, but I've a lot of self-doubt. And I think that sort of made it difficult for me to ever think that I could do anything like this.
Gotcha.
But she saw something that I didn't.
Gotcha.
Because I was a cheerleader and I did all kinds of, I just loved to perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, from an outsider perspective, I'm sure she saw that. But
gotcha.
I never did.
So then let's talk about getting out to LA at such a young age with your mother, I guess. Where did... Yes, you guys didn't stay at any content houses or anything like that. We've stayed. Yeah, no. Like you're just staying out here. And then how does it go into like, okay, I obviously have this following on social media and then I want to be a musician, like for real, for real.
I feel like for me, it's never truly been a transition. There have been milestones that I feel like the music side of my career is built. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that I've ever really wanted to transition away from social media into music. I just wanted to make music a facet of my career because I love it. So I don't know. I just kind of started building the music the way that I was building the social media presence. And and it's something that I enjoy doing. So
take us through getting with a record label. Kind of how did that come about? Are you out there kind of searching for a label at that point once you're... know you want to do the music, or is it kind of just I'm gonna do this and whoever comes to me, it is what it is?
Kind of. I went to the UK when I was 15 and I did a bunch of writing sessions. Mm-hmm. And my ex-boyfriend, my boyfriend at the time, he was an artist, and I watched him, and I would go to his sessions and I wanted to do it really bad. Yeah. And I was so jealous. So at that time, I was managed by his manager as well.
Gotcha.
And I was like, please get me in a room just with the people that he works with.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see if I was any good at it.
Yeah.
And I had always written poetry, but I had never put myself out there as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to, you know, sort of finally have my moment where I could try it.
Yeah.
And it went really well. And then we took those songs when we got back to LA and... that manager wanted to look for a deal.
Gotcha.
And obviously, like, my parents aren't in the entertainment industry. I'm from Pennsylvania, so we were navigating it. We were putting a lot of faith in people who were telling us what the right moves were. And they thought that, you know, a record deal was the best next move for me. So we did. I signed with Virgin Capital.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't... didn't turn out the best, but I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. We've had musicians on too, and they've a lot of our interviews have been independent artists. Like, do you feel like you've had more creative freedom just being an independent artist
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's hard when there's so many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, music's never been about, okay, how many streams can I get? How many records can I sell? It was just, I like doing this. I want to put out the best possible product. I mean, the song that I have that has the most streams is Queen, and the label hated that song. They did not want to put it out. They said it was too mature, it was too risky, and I took the cover art with my mom on portrait mode on her phone, and I brought it to them. I was like, please.
Show the haters what's up. Please. Let's go.
And we put it out, and it worked.
Yeah.
And, you know, through COVID, there was just such a huge disconnect between me and my team.
Yeah.
They didn't get me and I didn't get what was going on.
Right.
So they let me walk away, which was great. And then I wanted to independently release something that I was proud of.
What about as an artist, just yourself, kind of your process? Again, one of the questions we usually ask is like, do you have a process for yourself of like just sitting down and writing songs? And where does that inspiration kind of come from? Do you have a place where you always have to get that inspiration from?
It kind of depends on what I'm going through. I'm sure that's what everyone says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that is what it is. Sometimes I don't have anything going on and I have to dig a little deeper. Like recently I haven't really had many things to be sad or anything.
Life's good right now. Life is good. Right. Yeah.
So sometimes it's fun to dig deeper and look back and, you know, on different things. But I don't know. I usually start with conversation with the people that I'm writing with.
Just go in a room and figure it out.
Yeah, or I'll write ideas on my own. I write a lot of poetry still, so those are ideas that can always be turned into songs.
Right.
But it's different every time.
Okay. Yeah, we know you're huge into the music videos too, which we love, but like, how does it differentiate between going into a room and trying to come up with these different creative thoughts and then producing your own music videos? How is that different?
What, like coming up with the ideas? Versus-
yeah, I guess so. Because are you producing the music videos that you're in? Obviously, you get help here and there, but...
Yeah, so for my music videos, it was sort of a story that I worked out because I wanted it to be... I wanted a, more of a storyline because mm-hmm. a lot of my music videos when I was signed to a label were just, okay, now be sexy. And right. I can do that all day long.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have more of a, you know, story and an arc throughout the music videos. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I bounced ideas off of people on my team and people in my life. And I was like, I want a giant teddy bear. And they were like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So should we talk about the teddy bear?
If you want.
The elephant in the room. What's up with the teddy bear? We actually didn't know this until about 30 minutes ago. There's some yeah. video going around with some teddy bear moving its head. What's going on with the teddy bear, dude?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Yeah. All right. There's a battery in there or something,
I don't
dude.
I know. It's haunted.
Haunted. That's a nice little trick you got going for the world.
Take us through this album a little bit, Guilty, that you just dropped. What was your creative process writing the album, and did they have sort of different feelings throughout each song, and how did it all come to fruition? How long were you working on the album for?
So we did two different writing camps. We did one where we were like, let's just have fun
mm-hmm.
and let's write, because I was sort of in a place where I wasn't happy in my relationship. I wasn't having fun, and I just wanted it to be me and my friends in a house writing music that we loved.
Yep.
And so a lot of the more up-tempo songs came from that first writing camp, Told You So, and all those.
Gotcha.
And then the second writing camp we did, I wanted to sort of unpack things.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time with vulnerability, and that's something I wanted to tap into through music, because I'd never been able to do that before.
Gotcha.
Especially, you know, being signed to a label, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the second week, we tapped into all that and unpacked a lot of things. And yeah. So that's the other half of the album.
How do you know what song goes first on an album like that?
I don't know. I just kind of, okay. Yeah, you just kind of look at the song. For me, at least, I just kind of thought about in what order would I want to listen to this. Misery Loves Company is my favorite song on the album, mm-hmm. and I wanted to leave that for last because it was my favorite.
Gotcha.
So I was saving the best for last.
Is there a reason why you haven't done like albums before this, or is this more of just your complete, like, this is me now, I'm totally independent?
There was never any, like, the label never really wanted or gave me space for consistency.
Right.
It was always very stop and start and stop and start. And, oh, we don't like this direction. Let's move this way. And right. So I never really got to actually sit and write a project, which is something that I really, really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this album for me was sort of coming into my own, seeing what if I was capable of writing an album and right. completing mm-hmm. a full project, and also just laying the foundation, because I have so many songs, so many singles, but there was never any cohesion. There was never any like true identity. So I wanted to lay the foundation of, okay, this is the baseline, this is where we're starting,
yeah,
let's build on this.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your fan base, because obviously they're so close to you and it seems like you kind of bounce off them a lot. Like, what do your fans mean to you?
I mean, it's so corny, right? Because I'm like everything, because I was a 13-year-old homeschooled kid in my room who live streamed pretty much 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And the only friends I had were the people on the internet telling me that I was cool when I felt like the least cool person in the world.
Yeah.
So getting the opportunity to grow up alongside people and learn from them and show them things that I'm proud of. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's just been this sort of back and forth, for pretty much my whole childhood. And that's crazy, right? Not a lot of people can say that. Not a lot of people can say they have these people who have basically watched every day of my life since I was 13 years old,
right.
You know, in my parents' house in my bedroom, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be, they're always going to be the most important to me, and they're very supportive of everything
Looks
I do.
Looks like you and Taylor Swift kind of hand in hand got that loyal fan base there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of overlap because I'm such a big Taylor Swift fan that I'm like, I'm in with the Swifties. Yes. I am one of them.
We want to hear about a crazy fan experience that you might have ran into.
Oh my god,
good or bad?
Jeez, there's been a lot of really cool ones. I mean, even last night, I met so many people at the Taylor Swift concert. Sorry, I have allergies. So many people at the Taylor Swift concert who I'm not crying. Who like came up to me and gave me bracelets.
She's like, I love my fans.
I just love my fans. No, I do it. I do cry about that sometimes. Yeah. But trading bracelets with people and things like that. I run into people all the time in public. I've had people show up at my house. While not ideal.
I say you got stalkers, dude, or what's going on over there?
Yeah, of course. Of course. There's always going to be that. But, you know, there's been more positive experiences.
How do you stay like humble throughout just being so big?
I humble myself every day. I still, when people ask me, they're like, what is it about you that people love? I could not tell you. Yeah. I still don't know. And I haven't figured it out. And I think that keeps me humble because I'm like, I don't know why you're watching.
Just be yourself and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Let's go into, I guess, you kind of be an independent person now, but going into, you know, ventures, different, I don't know, businesses. It looked like you started your own jewelry business while you were still with Virgin, but obviously that's still a thing now. Talk to us about being on the business side, being on the back end of things, and what have you learned so far with just running your own business?
Shout out that there's a lot of markets that are really saturated.
What was it?
I said I learned that there's a lot of markets that are really saturated.
Yes.
So yeah, it's hit or miss. I mean, it takes a lot of research, and my interests right now lie with partnering with companies and brands that I want to support and be a part of.
Right.
So I think eventually one day I'd want to have my own something.
Right.
But I'm not sure what that thing is yet. There was this place in Pennsylvania that's for sale right now, and it's a dive bar, and it's in the middle of the woods,
get back
half
in
a mile
there,
from my house, and I want it so bad. It's like, those are the things that that excite me.
What would the bar be called?
I don't know yet.
Got to workshop that one.
It has a name right now, but I don't want to tell you because it's like the locals would hate me.
Yeah,
the locals would hate me. It's in the middle of the woods. Like they would hate me.
Beach bar?
Oh, like my name?
Yeah, I'm just throwing out names.
Oh yeah, that could work.
In the middle of the woods.
I hate my last name.
Why do you hate your last name?
Because I got a lot of Lauren Bitch comments in school. My last name's Beach. So then I went with Lauren Gray, and that it wasn't too far from, you know, being something else. So I couldn't really win. So I just stuck with Lauren Gray.
Gotcha. Kind of with that, I kind of have a question in terms of like dealing with the negative like side of the internet. How is that for you? Do you just, you know, some people say they just don't even look at it. It's hard to ignore sometimes, but always there's going to be negative sides to everything. How is that for you, and how has that been for you, and how do you handle that?
Yeah. It was really hard in the beginning. I feel like especially when you're going through those super formative years between like 14 and 17.
Right.
It was difficult, and I definitely had my moments where I wasn't, you know, being the healthiest and taking care of myself and let people get in my head way too much.
Yeah.
But I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, life is too short, and I kind of know which comments not to read now. Like, I kind of know which platforms I probably shouldn't read. But I just don't care. I'm 21 now. I've been dealing with this for 8 years.
Yeah.
There's nothing anyone could say that can really.
I was going to say, because on all of your social media, it just seems like you're such a like lively, like positive person. Sometimes I don't understand how somebody like that, why people even do that in the first place. So, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of it too.
But once you see it, see it.
I mean, I don't want to say it's jealousy, but that is what it is, right? You see someone else
trolls on the internet,
you
know,
and you hate it. And I wish things weren't that way, but I don't know. There's really nothing that I've heard at all at this point.
What do you like to do outside of all this stuff? All the stuff that people know who Lauren Gray. What are your hobbies, dude? What you got?
So many things.
Yeah.
Outside of singing and, you know.
Yeah.
Karaoke. I love a good karaoke bar.
What's the best karaoke song?
Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Who's that by?
I forget.
I'm dumb. Who is it?
Yeah.
Jed.
There you go.
Shout out Griff. Let's go. Drops a Jupiter over here. Just saying.
Oh, yeah? Oh, loved. I would pay
Come
money.
On I know, right?
It would be awesome.
But the karaoke bar after this.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
talents.
Tonight.
Are you?
Going to Manhattan Beach for my friend's birthday.
Okay. Gotcha.
And we're going to the karaoke
bar. We've heard Bungalow is the move out here, so I think we're going to go try to blend in with the tourists.
She's like, I don't know those eyes. Okay. I don't know if we're going to hit that one.
Well, we're from Nashville, so we try to stay away from Broadway. All the tourists go to Nashville. Have you been in Nashville? Have you like recorded anything in Nashville?
No, but I'd love to.
You've never been to Nashville?
Mm-mm. Right. Well, no, but I want to. No, there's like a bunch of karaoke bars, and like we've been to all the bars and clubs in LA, and I've exhausted all of my options. So we're going to go to Manhattan Beach and try something new. Right. But yeah, karaoke. I have my house in Pennsylvania that I work on.
Nice.
A little side project. Yeah. But I love it so much. I have like 5 acres of land. I got my John Deere.
Yeah.
And that's like my alter ego, Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus. and then I come back to my Hannah Montana life. And I go to dive bars in Manhattan Beach. But while I'm there,
See, she's like, we were at a ton of dive bars last night. I'm like, we got to go to a rooftop or something, dude. So it sounds like you're kind of more the divey, like, let me go live out in the country.
I don't
you're
like feeling
way,
judged. You know? Yeah. I just want to, like, because I also don't know how to drink in moderation. So I have to be in a location where people aren't going to judge too much.
How do you deal with being out in public?
Yeah. I go to dive bars. So.
Just dive bars.
They don't know me.
Oh, yeah, we know, you know.
No, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I get insecure, especially when like I know there's like that weird tension when you know someone knows me and they're like taking pictures and things like that, and I'm like that always just it's so triggering because like, when I was little and I just started social media, there were so many instances of people being so rude to me in person that it like scarred me as an adult.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, I have so many positive experiences because I'm an adult. But when I was a kid, it was easier to take advantage of that and be an asshole.
Right.
So I don't know. A lot of moments from my childhood scarred me of being in public, but I have so many great experiences. A lot of my like fans and people who follow me are in like college now.
Yeah.
So they're not, I have a lot better experiences.
People what about tour? Have you gone on tour? Are you planning on going?
I opened for Hunter Hayes recently.
Oh, hell yeah.
I have a couple more shows coming up in different places that we're still trying to confirm.
Yeah.
But the Hunter Hayes tour was awesome.
Yeah.
I opened for him on the East Coast.
Nice.
And that was super cool getting to learn from him and, you know, spend a lot of time in a Sprinter van.
Yeah. So, how you like those Sprinters, dude?
It was fun. It was a mission.
We're big rolling. All right. Well, I guess we asked this question at the end of all our interviews.
Okay.
You can take this any way you want. Man to woman, what is the key to success? And when we have females on, you know, it's dating advice. I mean, we're single dudes. If you got some advice for us or if it's just life advice or maybe to people that are younger than you, you give it to us, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, wait. Which question first?
Which one should we do? Yeah, you got to choose, dude. You got to choose. Maybe a little bit of all of it, you know?
Yeah, let's start with just
keys to success.
Yes. For a man.
For a man?
For a man, yeah. What do we got to do out here, dude?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know. I think that I mean, for myself personally, I really respect someone who is intelligent above anything and has good jokes. I think guys think that us as in women and me care way more about the way that people look. And it's, for me, it's not about that. I'm meeting someone tonight. So wish me luck.
Sheesh.
But I hope he's not weird. We'll see.
Okay. And then what is man to woman? What is the key to success in your professional career, in a professional career?
I mean, for me, the thing that's always worked is just trying to stay grounded and put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
I also feel like sometimes it's easy to get caught up in thinking too hard about the bigger picture instead of what's right here, right now, and what you can do with what you have. So I think it's just one foot in front of the other to climb the hill instead of jumping.
Keep going. Out. Anything you want to plug?
Oh, my goodness. Enough for
plug
you.
Plug it out.
Mix is out.
Yeah.
Brian V. And is there anything else I should plug? I feel like that's
plug
kind of it.
It. Out.
No. That's it.
Album for sure.
Album. Yeah,
album.
Guilty.
The album.
Let's go. Lauren Gray, we appreciate you coming on. We'll see you.
Thank you. Woo.
All right. Cool.
Awesome, guys. That was painless.
Yeah. All right. Now we can jump in the pool and shotgun beers. So
honestly, it's Friday.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing that.
Of course.